Well, it is good to be with you and good to be in the series that we've been walking through. And the series really is on the spiritual disciplines. And we've talked about this over and over again, that the spiritual disciplines are, you know, these things like prayer, these things like fasting. And we look at them as often, I think I've always looked at them as things that are obligations or things that like the really spiritual people do. And the reality is they're not. They're these really beautiful gifts of grace that God has given us to enter in. Last week we talked about prayer. And this idea of that Jesus was teaching us to pray. Well, he was teaching us to walk into a conversation that has been going on for all of eternity. That blows my mind every time I think about that. Like this conversation between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he's asking us to enter in. And that's part of what these spiritual disciplines do. They bring us to this place where our life that God has always wanted for us, this life that is in connection to him, in relation to him, that we are able to enter into that. We've talked about meditation. And we've been looking at this idea of memorizing. I'll be honest, I'm still on the first one. I'm trying to get these other ones in my head, but that one part where God makes his home in us, I can't get that out of my head. Like, what does that mean? What does that look like for God, for you to enter into my life in such a way that you're at home here with me? But that's what I've been meditating on and thinking about. These things are God's grace. They're God's gifts to us. They're not obligations. They're not duties. And so today, before we even get to the word, we're just going to open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to enter into what we're talking about today. God, we come just grateful that we can have a relationship with you, that Jesus came for us, that we, when we were sinners, you loved us and cared about us in such a way that you sent your one and only Son for us. God, we're just grateful today that we can talk to you. We can come boldly before your throne. That you've given us your word, you speak to us today through it. And we just ask today as we open it that our hearts would be ready to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about what does it look like to study the Bible? And Lisa said, hey, we have these things over here that's called truth tables that we're going to do afterwards. And we're going to talk about inductive Bible study. It's one of the methods of studying the scripture, but we want to study the word. And there's a reason that we want to study the word of God. And it is a way of understanding who he is. It is a biography of God. It is not about you. It is not about me. It is not a self-help book. It is not any of those things. It is a biography of how God works in this world, has worked and is working in this world. How he is just, how he is merciful, how he's loving, how he's kind. All of those things are contained in there, and they're for us to understand who he is, because God wants to have a relationship with you. God is speaking through his word to us. And that's what we're going to be unpacking today. You can unpack it just a little bit more, a little bit more after the service or during the service, or it's after the service. It's in the second service. There we go. But we also have these sheets. And these sheets, it looks like a lot. It looks like a packet today. And you're going to get these for the next 6 weeks. And there's something called the inductive Bible study. So the first thing is to take notes on this. And then the next one is an inductive Bible study. These are made for you to study the scriptures. Remember, we're making this thing very practical, making it very easy, because these are God's graces to you. They're God's things that he wants for us to be able to do. And so we want to give you those things. So there's a Bible study. It's on 1 John 4. And so if you leave here at the end, just pick one of these up, do it with a friend, do it with a spouse, do it with somebody, and just walk through that and begin to engage and to begin to just be able to understand the spoken as we study it. And this is God's word to us. When I was a kid growing up in church, there was a lady by the name of Mrs. Manzer. She was the pastor's wife. She's still alive. She's probably close to 90, I would guess, at this point. But she taught me and all of the other kids, and if you can only imagine, can you imagine me in children's church trying to sit still? It wasn't a good thing. But she was a great teacher and so kind and gracious to us. And I really liked this song because there were some actions to it. We're going to play a little clip of a song she taught me way back then. Anybody else ever hear that song before and have that song to them? That was one of those fun songs. And we did all kinds of things, like we would smack a guy in front of us who was doing it and push on their shoulders because they were shrinking faster than us, all of those fun things. That's why I thought it was fun as a kid. But here's the reality. That song is true. That song, in its reality, this idea that when we read our Bible, we grow spiritually, is true. When we neglect our Bible, we shrink in this. And that is true. I've been doing this pastory thing for a long time, and I will tell you, in my own life, that is true, and I've observed it in many others. When people are engaged in the Scriptures, they grow spiritually. When they are not engaged in the Scripture, it is very, very difficult for them to be engaged, or for them to grow. They shrink in that relationship. Prayer and studying the Scripture and the Christian life are massive, massive tools in spiritual growth. And so what I want to do today is ask a couple of questions. Why do we study the Scriptures? And how do the Scriptures, how do we really study the Scriptures? What does that look like for us? Remember, this is a spiritual discipline. This is something that we do to receive, to enjoy what God has for us. And so how do we do this? What does this look like? How do we grow as we look at the Scripture? And our goal as followers of Jesus is to become like Jesus, to move in the direction toward the one who came for us in our hearts, in our lives, in our relationship to God. So we want to imitate the image of who God is. And so we want to look at this because it's kind of confusing, I think, sometimes for people, because this is an ancient text. It's an ancient text written over multiple millennia. It's written for a very long period of time by multiple authors. And we kind of go, well, how does this lead to spiritual growth? How does this help us on a daily basis to grow spiritually? What does this look like? Well, the Bible gives us some answers in itself about why. And so if you have your Bibles, if you would, open them up. If you have a Bible, open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that's where we're going to hang out today. And if you don't have your Bible, that's okay. You can take your Android out or your iPhone. I like paper. I like the Bible. That's just me, and I like to have it in my hands. But I understand the convenience of having a Bible app and those things, and I use those also. So whatever you have, and it also will be on the screen behind me. So what we want to do is take the context of this passage of Scripture, and we kind of want to unpack it. And the context is Paul is writing. He's writing to his young friend. It's his mentee. he gives him this warning that there are going to be people, even in the church, there are going to be people who are going to try to give you sound, wise advice, but it's not biblical. It's not from God. And they don't follow the scriptures. Well, what do they follow? Well, Paul says that they follow, it's not driven by the word of God. It's driven by their desires. It's driven by their passions. It's driven by all of these other things that are outside of the scripture. And then they try to input it into the scripture and tell you this is what is true. And they wreak havoc amongst the people of God. If the people of God are not grounded in the Word of God. And so this is the context in which he's writing. Because in the first century, just like today, there are people who are in the church who do not follow the scriptures. There are churches, and I'm not going to name churches or anything like that, that will tell you things that are not in the scripture or that are twisted within the scriptures. I will just tell you this. This one is for free. Marriage is between a man and a woman and nothing else. It's nothing else. There are churches that will say that it's not true. It's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. There are people out there that will tell you things that are just not true. And they'll say they're scriptural, they'll say they're biblical, and what happens all the time in that is there's a couple of questions that you can ask. One is, do you believe in the inerrancy of scripture? Do you believe it is the true word of God? And this is what Paul is going to teach in just a moment. Do you believe it's really from God? That we really have to follow this? If they say no, this is what will happen next. They will deny the deity of Christ. It just happens. It's a progression. There's a passion. There's a desire. There's something that they want to do that is outside of the scripture. They'll deny the inerrancy of scripture. And then the progression of that, this is the shrinking, is that they will deny the deity of Christ. Happens. And so I'm just telling you that. This is what Paul is addressing in the church in the first century. This is what we're addressing in the church today. People can make things sound really good if you don't have grounding in this. So Paul reminds Timothy, hey, this is not the very best way to live. I want this word of God, this warning to you to go out. Because this is what God wants for you. And so he says this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. Well, who did Timothy learn this from? Who did Timothy learn the scripture from? His grandma and his mama, right? His daddy was not in the scene in that, but his mom taught him the ways of God. His grandmother taught him the ways of God. And he says, man, you have a foundation, Tim. Like you already are convinced of this. It says, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture. Paul and him were not buddies when he was a baby. His mom and his grandma were there. And then he says, which are able, he tells us what the scriptures are able to do. They're able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so he begins to teach. He begins to help him to understand. From the very beginning, Timothy was acquainted with the holiness of the scripture, the sacred writings, which were able to make him wise for salvation. He became a follower of Jesus. His grandma and his mama taught him about the Jewish Old Testament. And then when Jesus came on the scene, when Paul came to him, he understood who Jesus was, that he died on the cross for him. He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He was the one who went to the cross. His blood was shed. He is the perfect Lamb of God for him. And he believed that. He trusted that. And he began to walk in the ways of that. It made him wise to salvation. And then it goes on. And then it goes on and it says a very, very famous, very, very famous verse. Some that you may have this memorized. Paul says in verse 16, all scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here's what Paul is trying to say to Timothy. Keep trusting, keep learning. Don't stray away from it. Keep diving into the word. As you do, what it will do, it'll keep equipping. It'll keep equipping you. It'll keep rebuking you. It'll keep correcting you. It'll keep changing you. It'll keep transforming you into the likeness more and more of who Jesus is. When we think about this passage, I like to think about this passage, and I mean, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And when we think about this, sometimes we think about, like, if we're firmly in this, in the Word of God, we go, man, I can see this in this person's life, and I can see this in this person's life, and that may be true. But really, the Word of God is to go, I can see this in my heart, I can see this in my heart, I can see this in my heart. And it's sometimes difficult, because I don't know about you, but I don't go like, I am looking to be wrong today. Anybody do that? Like, I'm just looking to be wrong today. That's what the Scripture does. It confronts our wrongness. It says training in righteousness. If you have to be trained in righteousness, in rightness, it means that you've been doing some things wrong, right? So it's correcting, it's training. That place in your heart is starting to change it, is starting to move it. So that the Word of God may be the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything that God has for you, everything that God desires for your life, everything that He wants from you to enjoy the good work that He has placed in you, that's what He's equipping you for. That's what the Word of God is equipping you for. Paul speaks of three things that make the Scripture really, really powerful. Really powerful. When we study it in and by faith. If you notice here, he doesn't say anything like, hey, read your Bible because you're supposed to. He actually tells us, like, he makes it kind of obvious why we're supposed to read the Bible. The first thing is source. What's the source of the Scripture? Then he talks about efficacy of the Scripture. Is it working? And then he talks about the result of it. And so for just a moment, we're going to talk about each one of these. How many of you guys like podcasts? I am a podcast guy. I like them. I walk the dog. I'm listening to a podcast. When I'm brushing my teeth, I'm listening to a podcast. I like podcasts. But there's a reason I like podcasts. And there's a reason you like podcasts. You're looking for something, right? You're looking for information. You're looking for them to tell you something about the world in which we live. You're looking for maybe, I don't know what podcast do you guys listen to. Maybe you're looking for a new recipe, and it's a podcast on good, delicious recipes for family. I don't know if that's even a thing. I don't know, but if it's not, I should do that. That's a good one. I'll do that this week. There's all kinds of podcasts, but we're always looking for something. The thing that we do with our podcasts, because there's bazillions of them, have you ever noticed that? There's like a ton of them. I don't know how you choose your podcast, but I choose it on, okay, who is this speaking, and do I trust the source? Do I trust the source? Are they somebody that can speak into what I'm looking for in this moment, what I'm trying to discover in this moment? And so these podcasts, these reels, these articles, these videos, they're shaping me at some level into something because I'm gaining information. I'm gaining some of this stuff. Paul describes Scripture, and he describes the source of Scripture. And he describes it like different than any other podcast or any other source in the world. He says God breathed. He actually makes up a Greek word for this. And he uses a very common word, theo, which means God in Greek. And then he uses pneumatos, which means breath or spirit. And he joins them together. And he's saying God breathed. There's no other place in all of Greek literature that this word is used. It's like Paul is going, this is so other. This is so incredible. Like I've got to help you to understand it. This isn't just some dude writing. This is the very breath of God. It is driven by God. Yes, there were human authors driven by the Spirit of God to write down these words, these things that would go across culture, that would go across time, that would speak to us today. The Bible says that the Word of God is active and alive today. And that's what Paul is saying. He's telling us that this is God breathed. That should blow our minds if that's true. If you believe that, if you hold to that, that should blow your mind. It shouldn't be like, oh, maybe I shall read my Bible and be a good boy today, right? It should be like, woo, God's speaking to me today through His Word. He's going to communicate through this. This thing is alive and well today that God wants to speak to me. This is what Paul is saying. You know, I used to hate this about my job, my role as a pastor. A lot of people will, once they find out that I'm a pastor, they'll start to ask biblical questions, like I am Siri, right? Like, I don't know everything about the Bible. I have some ideas about a lot of things, and I can make up some answers. And sometimes I just flat out don't know. But there are these obscure questions. And I used to get annoyed by that. I'll just be honest, I got annoyed by it. Like, everywhere I go, I'd be, like, someplace, and people would be like, hey, what about this? And it's some, like, random question, like, that's somewhat difficult to answer, and you've just given me, like, I don't want to, like, it's like a deep dive into theology to answer it, and I'm like, I don't really want to do this right now. And then I started to think, well, it's kind of like a lawyer. You ever been in a room with a lawyer? Like, it's hard to not ask a legal question, isn't it? Like, they're there with you, and you're like, I have a legal question. Like, you know, and it just pops into your mind. And then I started to go, man, this is kind of cool that people want to know. And it actually kind of points to the curiosity of the human heart to know the one who created them. And so I started to go, I'm going to embrace this. And I'm just going to try to answer or go, I don't know about that one. And one of the places, and this is a weird place to have conversations, and I don't know what it is, and I've told you this before, Michigan Tech sauna. Every time I'm in there, it seems like I'll just kind of slide in there and try to get a quick sauna in there and before I go home or whatever, and it seems like there's always somebody in there. And the conversation turns quickly to some type of spirit, and it's not me. I'm just sitting there throwing water on the rocks. And this is how it usually goes. Oh, you're a pastor. Oh, yeah, I went to church with my grandma back in blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, when I get to heaven, this happens all the time. When I get to heaven, I got some questions for God. Really? What are those questions? I can't resist. I have to know. What are these questions? And so I ask that. And, you know, some of them are really just pain. This world. Some are just difficulty. Some of them are just arrogance. I'll just say, there's arrogance. And then my next question is this. So do you read the Bible? Do you read the Bible? And often they'll be like, well, I tried, or I did, or there's some excuse, usually. Some have read it. Some are somewhat knowledgeable, but not usually. This is crazy to me. If this is true, if what Paul is saying, that it is the very breath of God, the very word of God, why wouldn't you go to where he's speaking if you have questions? Why wouldn't you go to this place where he is communicating? Oftentimes people will think like, oh, if I could just hear, I wish God's voice. I wish I could just hear God's voice. Oh, you can. It's called the very word of God, right? It's active and it's alive and it's for you. It's for you. That's the source. It's the creator of the world. And some of you are going right now, well, I don't know if I trust that. I get that. I will tell you this. We have manuscripts that are like, if you think of like Alexander the Great, the biography of Alexander the Great, we have better manuscripts and closer manuscripts to the when it was written. The New Testament was written 60 AD. We have closer manuscripts than we have to the Alexander the Great biography, and we trust Alexander the Great biography, do we not? Yes. We think, oh yeah, that's probably factually true. Yep, great. But when it comes to the scripture, when it comes to someone saying you're a sinner in need of a savior, we go, nope, that's not true. Nope. That we push that out over here. The reality is that the Bible is well documented. Yes, there are things in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that there's a little bit different perspectives on things, but there's nothing that tells you anything different than you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. He came for you. He wants to forgive you. He loves you. God sent his one and only Son for you. It says this over and over and over again. It is consistent in that. And if you start there with Jesus, do you know the Bible that Jesus says the Bible's all about him? It says it a couple of times. It's all about me, he says. This is the problem, I think, sometimes when we read the Bible. When we study the Bible, we think it's all about us. No, it's not all about you. It is a biography of who God is, his goodness, his righteousness, his holiness. He is utterly different than us. And when we are in relationship to him, when we are starting to see who he is, it begins to change us. It begins for us to understand who he is. God revealed himself to us. It is not, I've said this before, and there are people who believe that it's a roadmap. And there are maps in the scripture. If you want to know where ancient Israel is, you can look in the back of your Bible, and it's really kind of cool. But it is not a road map. It is a description of the Creator God, that you may know who he is and how he operates in the world here and how he operates in the world today, that he is loving, that he is merciful, that he is just, and that he wants the very best for you, but this is who he is. He is holy. He is other than us. And it will describe that throughout the scripture. We study to know who God is. There's a passage where Moses is going into this tent of meetings. So he's going to hang out with God. And he's going to have a conversation with God. And it says that he would go in there and God spoke to him like a friend. You know, they didn't have the scriptures at that point. And so God's speaking to his friend Moses. When we open the Word of God, it's a conversation that God is going, let me give you a piece of my mind. You're not going to give me a piece of your mind. Let me give you a piece of my mind. Let me speak to you as a friend. Let me speak to you as a father. Let me speak to you in this loving, kind way that you may know who I am, that you may know who you're designed to worship, and you may know how to live in the world that I create. This is what the Bible's about. It's this conversation. It is God speaking to you, to me. The source is God himself. if you start to think about it in that way, it starts to make us go, maybe it's not just a duty. If you think about your last camping trip, I used to lead trips a long time ago into the wilderness. And I would go out there and we'd be paddling along all day and we would be out there. But some of the best conversations I ever had with the people that I was with were in those tents. Those moments where we were just so close. We could hear each other. We could ask questions of each other. That's like what God does every time we open the Word of God. He's going, man, I'm just hanging out in the tent with you, friend. I just want you to know who I am. I want you to know who you are. It's a beautiful thing. If we began to think about it as that grace that God has given us, I think we would go to our Bibles a little more often. The Gospels are something for us to understand who God is, who Jesus is. I was thinking about like one of the other reasons that if you look at the Scriptures, they're really old, they're consistent, they all point to Jesus, and we could go deep dive into all of this. We're not going to do that this morning, into the theology behind it. But another thing that if somebody was just trying to make a religion, it's like the worst possible thing that you could do. Like Peter, think about Peter for a second. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three, right? Like, if I'm making my own religion and I'm going to get people to follow me, I am never telling anyone that I denied Christ, right? Like, that's just a bad... And he's like, some denominations believe he's the first pope. That's not good on the resume to be the first pope, right? And so, like, there are things that you would just not write and just not put in the text to make a religion. They agree. All of the Gospels agree. Jesus says that the Bible holds who he is. And so some of you may be going, man, I get to Leviticus and it's really difficult. It's really hard to wrestle through. And it's confusing. I just want to give you this suggestion. Start with Jesus. And then we can move out from there. But start with Jesus. Start with the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, begin to read there. Begin to go, if this holds up, if Jesus is who he says he is, then the rest of it will hold up. I'm going to be honest. People will tell you the Bible sometimes it's easy and all that. It's not. It's a little confounding sometimes. Let's be honest about that. Why is it, though? Why is it? Well, it's not a self-help book. It's not about you. It's about who? It's about God. And so if you are, you should be a little bit confused at times. You should need him to kind of come in through the work of the Holy Spirit to go, here's what I'm actually saying here. Because it's about who he is. He's other. And so one of the things, don't stop reading because it's confusing. Read through it. Begin to enjoy it. Begin to understand who he is. When I get into a place where I'm like, man, I don't know what that's all about. I don't know what that's all about. Here's what you need to do. You look for the sinner. Look for the sinner in the story. Because it's probably most like us. And then there's always a rescuer. It is consistent throughout Scripture. You'll see sinner, and then you'll see rescuer. Sinner, 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 rescuer. Think about this. You ever read Exodus when they're cruising around, or maybe you heard it in Sunday school or heard it on VeggieTales. They're cruising around the desert. They're there, and God is providing manna. And what do the people do? Oh, we wish we were back in Egypt. We had leeks and we had fish and it was so much better there in slavery, right? And you're like, oh my goodness, you guys are knuckleheads, right? Like that's my initial thought. Well, what is the sin in this? Well, they're grumbling and complaining about the provisions of God. So I did a little test.
on this. Like, remember, they're eating bread every day from heaven called manna, very special bread, full of nutrients. I don't exactly know what it was, but the best I can tell, it was like a sweet pancake. This is what they're eating. So what I did was I said, I'm going to see if this is that bad. Like, God is providing. So I began to eat pancakes, no syrup, no butter. Did it for 3 days. I will tell you, I was thinking about Egypt too. It was really quickly, right? Like, I'm like, this is horrible. Why? Because I'm a sinner just like them. I'm a sinner. God was providing. I even had ones with a little roughage in them. I bought them at the store to make sure everything, because pancakes are kind of dense, right? Like, and if you want to try this, I would recommend that for you. There's always a sinner and there's always a savior. There's always a kingdom redeemer in the text. And look for it. It's there over and over and over again. Because God always comes. God always is moving. God's movement through the world, it's not a map for us. It's a map of his grace. It's a map of his mercy. It's a map of his righteousness. It's a map of his sovereignty and control. That's the story of Scripture. It's about God. You know, some people will say, and you've probably heard this, well, it's a love letter from God. If you start reading that thing, there's some weird stuff in that love letter. There's some weird things in there. I'll just encourage you, if you want to call it a love letter, and I've probably said it too, I'll just tell you, read the story of Tamar and tell me why that would be in a love letter, because that's just a weird, weird, weird story. There's stories in the Old Testament where you're like, this is not what I would include in a love letter. Now, does it describe a God who is loving and loves you beyond belief? Yes, but it's not a love letter. It's describing who he is, that he's merciful and he's kind and he's just. And this is who he is. And you can see it throughout the ages. He is consistent. He is faithful. And when he makes a commitment, he always comes about. It's not a love letter in the sense of what we think the sentimental value. There's violent histories, prophetic judgments, these long genealogies. Can you imagine? Like, if you're writing a love letter to the person that you just love, and my uncle's cousin on the on this side, like, that'd be very weird, right? It's because it's not that. It's a description of who God is and how he operates in the world then and how he operates in the world now. He's saying and declaring who he is. N.T. Wright reminds us of this, and he said, the Bible is not a rule book or a love letter, but the story of how God is putting the world right. I like that. It's the story. Here's the four parts of Scripture. They're pretty simple to remember. Creation, God created. Man messed it up, called the fall. God sent a redeemer. His name is Jesus. And he came for you and for me. And then there's a fourth part. Are all things right now? Nope. They're not. But there's a day coming. We just sang a song about it. There's a day coming where all things will be made right. It's called consummation. Four parts of Scripture. There's creation, there's fall, there's redemption, and there's consummation. When all things are made right. When God completes this thing. Has he defeated death for us? Yes. Is he coming back for us? Yes. Are all things right now? No. But will they be? Yes. That is found in this. This is the story of God. Paul tells Timothy something incredible about the Scripture. He says it's able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. God wants to lead you to salvation. He wants to lead you to this place where you know him, where you understand him, where you understand that he will forgive you if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you will have a relationship with him. Well, what does it produce? So we have God as the source. We have seen how it makes us wise for salvation as it starts to push into our heart, into our soul, discerning our thoughts. You know what the Bible says about your heart and my heart? What does it say about it? It's wicked. It will go in its own direction and it's not toward God. What does the Word of God do? It starts to repair that. It starts to us for us to see like, oh, that's a bad idea. Here's the right way. Here's the rightness of God. This is the way I'm supposed to go because this is who I want to be like. This is who I'm designed to be like. This is what God has wanted for me. So we can see this within in the text, that we can be the man or person of God, follower of God. There's completeness, there's readiness, there's maturity. And then there's like this process of like, how does this work? So some people, when they look at the scripture, they want it to be something that they just kind of go, okay, I just read this really quickly. And we make it really quickly. And then it changes their whole life in that moment. And that happens sometimes. Or I have this question, or I have this fear in this moment. And so we read one little passage of scripture. We look it up on our phone. You know, Siri, give me every verse on fear in the Bible. And we read like one little verse. And that's okay to do. There's lots of them, but there's a context to it. There is something going on there. There's something that God wants to reveal that's larger than just the proof text of that verse. And so it's not a magic eight ball that we just ask questions to. It's a cumulative thing of God going, here I am. Here's my invitation. Let me speak to you. Let me speak to you. Let me talk to you. Let me tell you about who I am over and over and over and over again. And every time we open it, that's what God is doing. He is speaking. So we have the source. We have the power of what it is to correct our hearts, to train us. Every time you open it, it's not a waste because you're speaking to the very one who created you. So today, we're going to give you a little challenge. I did it at the beginning, and I'll do it again. If this is really God-breathed, this is really a meeting in the tent with God, we should spend some time in that tent. Here's the tent conversation. It's 1 John chapter 4. Pick one of these up. Here's the other thing that we really believe. This isn't done alone. You can do it alone. It's way better when you do it with other people. Like, you know, like you have a few people in the tent talking with God. God's speaking to you. You get to hear what he's saying to them and what he's saying to you. It's a wonderful thing. So do it with your friend. Do it with your spouse. Do it with, a group of people. You can go over after the service and do it right over there. But would you take that challenge and just for 6 weeks? Just start to follow this method. This is just a method, just a tool, just a way of looking at scripture. But I will tell you, I think it will do something in you. It'll do something into your tent conversations with God because he will begin to speak to your very heart. So pick up one of these, open the Word of God, meet with the God who's speaking today through his Word. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you and we believe what Paul says to Timothy, that your word is for us. Your word is active and alive. That your word is something that we need to ingest. We need to hear. We need to hold on to. God, help us. God, help us when we come to those places where, if we're honest, it's a little dry and we don't understand. Help us just to continue to go after you, to continue to ask you to speak to us through your word as you speak. Help us to understand the very words that you use and the text and how they are active and alive today. God, we ask that you would make your home with us and in us. In Jesus' name, amen.